Aquinas for Armchair Theologians by Timothy M. Renick. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank my teachers at Dartmouth College and Princeton University, especially Ron Green, Jeffrey Stout, and the late Victor Preller, who so skillfully introduced me to Thomas Aquinas, and who so diligently encouraged me to sample the many treasures to be found in his thought. I also would like to thank my students at Georgia State University, who in the years since have challenged me to examine Aquinas anew, and who have prompted me to find creative ways to make his sometimes dry writings entertaining. I hope that this volume represents in some small way the best of both valued influences. Special thanks are owed to Joseph in Candela, who offered helpful comments on an earlier draft of this volume. Timothy Renick, Atlanta, Georgia, August 2001. Chapter 1. Beginnings. Thomas Aquinas's Life and Times. The human mind can understand truth only by thinking. Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas ranks among the three or four most influential thinkers in the history of not merely Christianity, but of Western thought in general. Aquinas's theory of natural law shaped our modern concept of human rights. His views of the state supplied the model for the arguments of Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. His commentaries on sex are still hugely influential and pretty darn interesting. His views on the justice of warfare and the status of non-combatants have been codified into international law and can be found in U.S. military handbooks. 700 years after his death, his proofs of God's existence are still among the most discussed by philosophers. And the compromise he worked out between faith and reason, his answer to the question, "How can I be a religious person and still accept the claims of science?" is the answer adopted by most modern Christians to this day. If you're an average American, Christian or not, you walk around spouting some of Aquinas's views, challenging others, and never stopping to ask, "From where did they come?" For better or worse, we are all Thomists, followers of Thomas Aquinas, to some degree. How did a quiet, unassuming intellectual become so important to the modern world? Like all thinkers whose influence is great, Aquinas's prominence is in part a product of talent, in part a product of being in the right place at the right time. When Aquinas was born, Europe was emerging from the so-called Dark Ages, a period when the life of the mind often was suppressed and church authority dominated. In A.D. 1100, a century before Aquinas's birth, a Frenchman by the name of Peter Abelard tried to use reason to shed light on Christian doctrine. Doing so in a brash and confrontational manner, Abelard soon found himself branded a heretic and standing at a public burning of his books. Those were the days when people knew the etiquette of a good book burning. They had the manners to invite the author. He also found himself standing, barely, one might guess, without testicles, an indication that these were indeed harsh times for anyone who crossed those in power. His main opponent that evening, though not the instigator of his emasculation, was Bernard, a church leader who proudly proclaimed, "I believe, though I do not comprehend," and who taught his fellow Christians to accept by faith all of the dictates of the church. "One should support accepted ideas blindly," Abelard's age seemed to say. "Don't ask questions. Don't expect answers." In the century that passed between the time of Abelard and that of Aquinas, however, the church came face to face with some unprecedented challenges. Universities with powerful new ideas were established at Oxford, founded circa 1200, Paris, circa 1200, Bologna, circa 1200, Cambridge, 1209, and Naples, 1224. The Crusaders were bringing back not only booty from the Holy Lands, but strange new religious and intellectual ideas, the teachings of Islam. What worked when Christianity was insulated and isolated, telling people to accept the claims of the church blindly and without question, became more difficult to sustain. Islam didn't even accept the infallibility of the Bible. How could Christianity prove its truth to a Muslim or to a scholar at Oxford? Aquinas had the answer. Reason. If the truths of the Bible and the truths of Christianity could be shown to have a rational basis, for instance, if the existence of the Christian God could be shown to be not merely an article of faith and a claim asserted by the Bible, but also a dictate of reason, then Christians could win the day against their new challengers.